The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have Kent Summers. He retired the day after the Super Bowl. He has been observing sports in the Valley for 38 years with the Arizona Republic, longtime columnist. Want to have him on today to talk about Game 6 tonight. We will also chop it up. How is life in retirement going? Kent Summers will be with us. That comes up here in a few minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing long-time support. Tonight, so be at the game early. I want to be around Al McCoy tonight. Eliav Gabay is going to be there to cover the game. Jordan Spurgeon is going to be there to cover the game. So I'm allowed to go do what I want to do tonight. Yes, I'll watch. Yes, I'll make observations on social and the three dots afterwards. But, you know, if the Suns don't win tonight, obviously that's the end of their season. If they do win tonight, but they don't win Sunday in Denver, that's obviously the end of Al McCoy's broadcast run, his 51 years as voice of the Suns. So to me, as I look at games and look at things and say, hey, you know what, I think I want to go this direction. That's where I'm going to go tonight. And because saying DeAndre Ayton needs to step it up, like, yeah, and water's wet and the sun rises and sets. Like, what are we doing here exactly? Go at Joker tonight. Please, dear God, go at Joker. 11 fouls through five games and, you know, a couple of moving screens, but go at the big man of Denver and see if you can get him off the floor rather than just, yeah, you know, I think I'll sit back here and I'll do my thing and nobody's really going to challenge me and I'm not going to get in foul trouble. You know, there's a lot on the line tonight, obviously, because if this is it tonight, it's not just Al on the court. You can't possibly look at Chris Paul and say, yeah, we have to keep moving forward with him for another year, can you? He is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest ever. It's kind of like when Steve was at the end of his run here with the Suns, Steve Nash with his back. The hard part with sports, Luis Gonzalez, whoever, even Fitz at the end. When it's time, father time wins every single time. And I remember there was a time where there was a debate within the Suns about whether or not to keep Steve Nash. And one of the debates was, we will lose most of the lower bowl if he is not here. And I look at that and say, yeah, that's the hard part of sports. But if you're an owner, you have to know when to get out from under it. And you can't worry about the lower bowl because all of a sudden, what happened to the Suns? You know, they did trade Steve. This is like personal Steve. It's just business. Sent him off to the Lakers. And the same thing with Chris Paul. It's a fun team to watch, but you have to retool. You have to reload. You have to rebuild. Monty Williams, some people believe Monty Williams is in line to be the next coach of the Olympic basketball team for the United States. Yet you see Mike Budenholzer, not this year for Monty, but Mike Budenholzer gets blown out of Milwaukee. Any coach can get blown out at any time. And there's a new owner here. So this could be it for Monty Williams if they don't win tonight. I have to believe if they don't win tonight that DeAndre Ayton's not going to be back here next year. And if you don't know what you have in DeAndre Ayton, if you have to say he needs to step it up at this point, no, he's been around long enough and it'll go down that they passed on Luka and they took Ayton. And at the time I felt like build around a big man. I was wrong. Not the last time, not the first time. I think most people that want to be really secure in themselves, like, oh no, I never said that. Oh, okay. Whatever. I'm just going to speak for me. I thought taking Ayton and building around in the middle and having a dominant force to be there and to give you 20 and 12, 20 and 14 every single night was going to happen. And it hasn't. It's been a frustrating run. You know, giving Kevin Durant and Devin Booker some time together, I think with the injuries to both of them, the fact that they're playing like they're playing right now speaks. I think you need to give them a little bit more time, maybe. Is it too early to throw the judgment down and say the Suns completely overpaid? So there's just a lot at stake tonight. This is survive and advance night tonight for the Suns. They win here at home. They move on. Closeout games are very difficult. Just look at Golden State last night with the Lakers. All that to say, it's very much looking forward to the game. And if the Suns do win tonight, then I will be in Denver on Sunday and probably do the show from Denver on Monday, depending on what time the game is. So there's a lot going on that front. It is NFL schedule release day today. Some games have already been released. The opening game for the NFL will be will be the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills. Had to sneak that in. And it will be the Aaron Rodgers debut against Josh Allen. That will be the first Monday night football game. And the Cardinals and their schedule release will be later today. I would not expect very many, if any, national windows for them. The NFL now does not make it mandatory that every team has to be on at least one time. And so if your team's not good, you know, maybe it's late with Kyler Murray. Maybe it's early without Kyler Murray. I don't know. But I would not, I'd be surprised, let's put it that way, if the Cardinals were on a Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night game. That's all. And that doesn't mean much anyways. Even if they're good, like, so what if you're on five, six times for the country to see? You just know that you're good. Went to the ballpark yesterday to see the Diamondbacks play Miami. Tim Hovick over at Santan Ford sent me a note about come by, and I sat in their suite. It was very nice, and took my wife. And the ballpark, you know, having been there from day one and all the stuff that we did back around the ballpark, you know, Jerry and Rich Dozer and Joe Garagiola Sr. and I chalking a cotton field down there the day that the franchise was, you know, awarded, or the week after it was, we did a chalking ceremony. We buried a time capsule. It's still there in the ballpark. I sat in every seat in the ballpark. I had to have wrist surgery for it. I had pinch sitters. Obviously, the World Series team. So I've seen that thing, did shows inside the ballpark as it was being built, hammers going and construction workers. And, you know, it was a different time where you could do cool things like events that were going on around town, where today I've talked about backup linebackers in May. And so I felt like, or feel like that I can speak on this pretty clearly. The ballpark is dilapidated. There's fixtures that are in there. I had to go to use the old paper towel. This is on the suite level. I had to go use the old paper towel deal where you don't put your hands under it and it comes out. You had to spin it around. And I'm waiting to spin it around and just, you know, nothing left in there. And don't blame anybody. But it just, you could see concrete that has come up. It just feels old. The roof wasn't open yesterday. It was 81 degrees. They could have introduced the fans before the players. There was nobody at the game. Yeah, it's Wednesday and it's Miami. I understand that. But not getting 17 to 20, I don't know what they announced, but it certainly wasn't any more. Eyeball tests was certainly no more than 8 or 10, and that's including the ushers and ticket takers and everybody who's in the ballpark. So, you know, they dropped 2 of 3 to Miami. Merrill Kelly pitched okay. They came back, tied the score at 4. But if Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen aren't throwing, a Fott pitch the other night, he wasn't good. It's pretty clear to me that, you know, Alec Thomas is struggling mightily at the bottom of the lineup, not even hitting 200. Team's 3 games over .500. We're celebrating that. That's because the team's been so bad for so long, and they're heading the right direction with the kids. But are you going to make some moves with this current roster? They made the smart move in releasing Madison Bumgarner, no offense. To him, it's just that was the right move. Give the kids an opportunity to pitch. And so far, the kids that they brought up to pitch or the ones that are in the rotation haven't delivered. And there comes a point, is it Memorial Day? You know, on the calendar, it's where's the team at on Memorial Day? And that's where you can make your evaluation. And then July 4th comes around and you make more evaluation. Then you have the trade deadline and so on and so forth. Talked about this the other day. I think that's where we are with the Diamondbacks. And it's pretty apparent to me that they still are a good starting pitcher short. It's very clear to me the bullpen still comes in with gas cans and matches. Yesterday happened again. And when you lose those one-run games, those deals are gut-wrenching. And, you know, you drop 2 of 3 to Miami at home, that's disappointing. So now the Giants are in town for 4, and that gets started tonight. All right, Kent Summers on the other side. We'll be back with you tomorrow, too, for reaction on tonight's Game 6. Kent is next. As promised. Okay, so the day the Super Bowl left town was the final time that Kent Summers was looking at his laptop, I have to believe, and thinking this is it. 38 years he was at the Arizona Republic and AZ Central, and Kent and I saw each other about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago just to get caught up, and as the playoffs have progressed and the nonsense over the Cardinals has gone on in this offseason, although I think there's been some positives in the last week or so, Kent may disagree, it's felt like it's time to chop it up. So I appreciate you coming on. I don't want to call you retired, like permanently, and throw dirt on you. So you just want me to call you Kent, or do you have a title? It's like Cotton Fitzsimmons' title was Executive Vice President of nothing. Remember that? That was Cotton.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a title now, Kent? Is it just...
Very happy semi-retired guys, a little cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah. Semi.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's good. It's... just kind of, you know, watching as a fan and observer of everything that's going on. It's kind of fun now. That's not many things are more fun than the NBA playoffs when you're kind of in the middle of it and covering the drama and the game to game stuff or watching it even. So it's been fun.
Do you have an itch at all to do this, or you just, like you said, you're a fan and taking it in? Are you taking it in differently, or are there moments when you watch and you're like, okay, let me get after this, you know?
There have been a few moments like that. You know, you can't erase those 38 years, 42 years total of training. You know, you watch a game and think, okay, this is interesting. This is what I would write. This is what I would ask. I remember being in this position last year or whenever it was with the Suns, but it's not, you know, like appointment television. You know, it's not the end of the world if I miss a quarter or tune in late or any of that stuff. So that part of it's very different.
When I talk with people and they leave the business, they do go through withdrawals, I think, just because there is such a routine and rhythm to the sports calendar. You know, April is NFL draft, Suns playoffs when they're good, when Robert Sarver's not owning the team. And so, you know, you kind of get used to that routine and that rhythm. Are you out of it now?
Yeah, I think I am pretty much. We had our fourth grandchild was born. Three weeks ago, got to, you know, go see my parents for an extended amount of time. So it's been those kind of things that have, you know, I'm there and I'm thinking, you know, if I were still working at the Republic, I wouldn't be able to do this. You know, I wouldn't be able to spend 2 weeks there after a grandchild's born. So, you know, the good far outweighs, you know, whatever little pangs I have of, you know, I wish I was covering that.
Kent Summers with us for a couple of minutes. All right, let's get into this. It is Game 6 tonight. And as you look at the Suns-Nuggets series from your view, and you're not there every day, but I know you, I think, well enough on your social, you're paying attention. It's not like you're not watching and completely checked out. What do you make out of this series?
Kind of what we had thought when it started. You know, I think a lot of us were wondering, you know, anytime the playoffs are in the playoffs, you have to wonder if Chris Paul's going to be able to stay healthy or if bad luck's going to befall the Suns from an injury standpoint, suspension standpoint, whatever. So that's happened. And you know, we've just seen another step in the ascension of Devin Booker. I mean, everybody who's a Suns fan who follows them had known this guy has been great for a while. So it's been a little humorous to see some of the national reaction that, you know, all of a sudden he's, you know, entering stardom. I think, yeah, this guy's pretty good. But it's kind of what we thought as a series. You know, it's how much could the Suns get from their bench? And as good as Denver is at home, you know, how in the world are the Suns going to be able to win a game in Denver? And then, of course, it's playoff time. So DeAndre Ayton's always, you know, the center of attention. You know, what's he going to bring, you know, in this given night? I read some of the DeAndre Ayton's, you know, stories like, hey, he's got to prove himself. It's the playoffs. And it reminds me of, you know, their first playoff appearance 3 years ago with him. It's like, okay, it's time for DA to stand up. And he did then, you know, and here we are again, you know, seeing if he can prove himself.
Yeah. I mean, Ken, I feel like that storyline is somewhat played out.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like change of scenery for DeAndre Ayton? It was last summer, and that, I don't know, I look at Ayton and you hear things that the circle around him is not enthralled with being in Phoenix. And I just kind of feel like this is it for him. And this will go down as they passed on Luka and took this guy. And that's the course of the franchise.
Yeah. And it's, what are we, 4 or 5 years into DeAndre Ayton?
Yes.
This is who he is. He's not going to change. He'll, you know, he can come out, you know, on Thursday night and play tremendously. And then you don't know what you're going to get. And if there's a game 7 in Denver, you just don't know. And the larger picture of the Suns is how, you know, not only DeAndre Ayton, but how many changes are there if they lose to the Nuggets, you know, with a new owner who, oh, by the way, always has those Isaiah Thomas somewhere close to him, although he swears he's not going to have a job in the organization. But, you know, we've seen championship coaches this spring lose their jobs, you know, 2 or 3 years after winning a title. How safe is Monty Williams under new ownership? You know, we would think he would be pretty safe, but, you know, strange things have happened in the NBA and just recently.
You and I have talked about this topic now for about 2 minutes. We haven't mentioned Kevin Durant, neither one of us. And, you know, that's a whole nother storyline on how he's come here and what they gave up and how Mikal Bridges played once he was not like third, fourth option in Phoenix. So do you have an early thought on this trade, or is it just, look, it's pretty obvious. If they don't win with Durant here, then the trade was a bust. Is it too early to call it one way or the other until they win titles or get eliminated?
I don't know that this playoff year, this journey into playoff is a referendum on the Kevin Durant trade. I mean, he was hurt when he came here. Booker was hurt. They didn't play together very much. I think that's going to be extended at least another year before we can say, hey, you know, who won this trade, or how good was Kevin Durant, you know, for the Suns? Was this a good deal for them? I think it's early. What I think Suns fans certainly would like to see, and I think if the Suns are going to win, what they need is for him to play well early in a game. Mm-hmm. You know, he can't come out and make one of his first 7 shots, and I think the Suns still win that game. I think they need to start off well at home in game 6, start off fast and, you know, get a little boost from the crowd, get some confidence from themselves, like, hey, yeah. And, you know, and not let the, you know, the Nuggets get a lead and then have to battle back in an elimination game, you know, always trying to come from behind.
I'm going to the game tonight I may not even sit in the arena much, because this could be Al McCoy's last game. You know, I'll be in the arena, but I've got other people that are going to be there. But I feel like, you know, if the Suns win tonight, game 7 in Denver's on Sunday, got to win 2 games, keep Al going. And do you know Al well, Kent? Have you talked with Al much through the years? And, you know,
no, I haven't. We've met a time or 2 years ago when I subbed in on the Suns on a road trip. We went to dinner one night, but I don't know him very well. I've obviously enjoyed his work and his career all these years. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to, if they lost, it'd be nice if he got a good game to call. And
sure,
it wasn't a 40-point blowout in a home elimination game. You
right,
know?
Dallas last year in game 7, you know.
Something
like that.
Right.
Kent Summers with us for a couple of minutes. All right, flip over to the Cardinals. What do you see? I'm just going to lob it up there. What do you see? On the field, off the field, what strikes you as you've sat here? I'll call you Semi now. I'm just going to call you Semi. I'm not even going to call you Ken. I'm just going to call you Semi. Semi-retired.
This isn't really off the field. It sort of is. I mean, everything's sort of off the field now that they're, you know, in the, you know, off season. But I like what I've seen and heard and read about Kyler Murray this off season. Mm-hmm. You know, I go back to when he had surgery, and afterward there was speculation, would he do his rehab in Arizona? How often would he be here in OTAs, et cetera? And from all accounts, he's there every day in the locker room, working, you know, building relationships. And I think all that's a very positive sign for the Cardinals. I think Jonathan Gannon and Monty Austenford have handled the beginning of their relationship with Kyler Murray really well. I mean, they've shown they support him. I mean, from Jonathan Gannon saying, I wouldn't have taken this job if Kyler Murray weren't here. Now, that may or may not be true, but it's a nice thing to say publicly, to supporting him at the University of Oklahoma when he's had his statue unveiled. I like what they did in the draft. I think it was time to start drafting some offensive linemen high and quit trying to hope to develop fourth round picks or whatever, and then have to go into free agency and overspend for guys. I think that's a positive development. The not so positive development is, you know, the loss or that being this trade with the Eagles that was necessitated by the tampering charge with Jonathan Gannon. I think that was ugly. I think the Cardinals and the NFL and the Eagles were very smart to bury that in the news right before the draft.
Yep.
When they knew our focus would go elsewhere. I think that's a little bit troubling. And I think, you know, Jonathan Gannon still sort of learning to navigate his way around a press conference about how to handle questions instead of, you know, just outright fibbing, you know, to give the non-answer, you know, that a lot of people are so good at. But I, you know, you know, everybody's happy in the offseason, pretty much. I think it's still going to be a dismal year for the Cardinals. They've got a long way to go. I don't know that that defense is going to be able to stop anyone at all. Buda Baker wanting out via trade, that, you know, he hasn't backed off of that trade demand that I've seen. That's troubling for them. So, but overall, you know, I think it's gone fairly well for a new regime.
Yeah, I'm in the same corner as you in terms of what they did with the draft. Trade back, trade back, trade back. The fact that they're set up next year to have two ones, yeah, and it could be two high ones, I think is something. What about the Terry McDonough stuff with Michael Bidwell and Ron Mininger releasing a letter and drama around the owner and, you know, burner phones and all of that? What do you make out of that, Kent?
Yeah, it's you know, one phrase that really has troubled or bothered Michael Bidwell over the years, the notion that, oh, it's the same old Cardinals. You know, anytime they lose, anytime they screw up or a trade goes bad, you know, we always said, hey, it's the same old Cardinals. And that really bothered him. And now people are really saying it because, you know, it's back to an organization for a while that appeared it couldn't get out of its own way, much like it was, you know, when Bill Bidwell on the team. You know, the McDonough grievance was interesting and should be troubling for the Cardinals. You know, I know he was a polarizing figure in the organization. Not everybody liked him.
Correct.
A lot like Michael Bidwell. But I thought for Ron Mininger to come out and, you know, and basically, you know, I guess Pro Football Talk got the letter that he had written Michael Bidwell to confirm a lot of the things Terry McDonough alleged. I thought that was really damning about how Michael Bidwell's run the organization and about what his employees think of him. And I think, you know, rather, I think he would be smart rather than to point fingers and think, why are all these people out to get me, to look internally and say, we need to make some changes around here. Obviously, the way I've been leading this organization, you know, wasn't working.
Yeah, I think the Mininger letter, the part of you've changed, just that part alone is, I've heard that through the years, and that there's too many good people over there that are walking with their heads down, in my opinion. And I'm not there every day, I'm not even there every week. But when I talk with people, they're just, their shoulders are slumped. And that's not how you should be in any job, but in particular in an NFL franchise where it is so competitive and cutthroat.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, and Michael Bidwell can be brash. He can be, you know, less than tactful when he talks to people. And apparently, you know, that includes in employees. And I had heard for many years that he had improved in those areas, that he was a better manager and owner than he used to be. And then, much as Mininger said in the letter, that that had changed over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, and that people on the executive level of the organization, it was just, whenever Michael was in the building, it was just a miserable place to work. There was like no conversation. You know, somebody said you could hear the buzz of the fluorescent lights. It was so quiet.
Wow.
So, you know, hopefully he, you know, looks internally and they, you know, take some of these allegations seriously, and they can make some changes, because as you said, they have a lot of good people who work over there in all departments. And, you know, you hope that they can make it a better place to work.
Kent Summers with us for a couple of minutes, 38 years at AZ Central at the Arizona Republic, and he retired back in February. Chopping it up for a couple of minutes, I'll let you go off a few other things around town, and that is the Coyotes vote is coming up. The Coyotes and stadiums and owners and votes, rather than on the ice, feels like it's been going on since their existence. Do you have any thoughts on what's going on that front?
Yeah, I mean, they have to feel a little bit cursed, because, you know, in the draft again, they didn't, you know, they didn't move up in the lottery. They had a chance to get a generational talent and it, you know, went to Chicago, an organization that, you know, has had its share of troubles, that's for sure. And, you know, the whole idea of tanking for picks and, you know, brings that into the debate. Imagine what a week it could have been, or 2 weeks it could have been, if they had moved up to the number one pick and had the arena. Yes. Approved by Tempe citizens. I mean, that'd be the most successful week the Coyotes have had, you know, since moving to Arizona, probably. Yeah, it's, the whole arena issue gets debated back and forth. I know Tempe officials are saying this is a great deal for the city. There's, you know, not very much risk for us money-wise, you know, and that might be true. I just think it's, boy, I would really be careful about getting into a long-term agreement with Alex Morello. You know, just because of the way things went in Glendale, you know, not paying some vendors, the whole, you know, not paying a tax bill, et cetera, the whole negotiations with Glendale, although there's probably fault on both sides there. But that, you know, I don't live in Tempe, but that would give me pause. I'm not saying I'd vote against it, but that would make me pause for sure.
Anything else around town that catches your eye? I mean, you and I have been around Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. I was at the ballpark yesterday. It is dilapidated. It's amazing. The fixtures at Chase Field are still fixtures, it feels like, from 1998. And there's just stuff you see. I mean, there's all sorts of things around town, but in your space now, are the things around town that you're like, you know, kind of like this that's going on? It could be high school, could be college, could be pro.
Yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen so far from Kenny Dillingham, the ability to remake that roster. I think that's going to be a fun offense, at least, to work with, depending on who's a quarterback and if they can protect the quarterback. Certainly they have some weapons, especially tight ends and receivers, that they can throw the ball to. But we'll see. He's what, 33 years old. He's going to make some mistakes. There's going to be some growing pains. You know, we'll see how he can manage things day to day during the stress of a season. You know, the Diamondbacks, it's an interesting team to cover. It's baseball fans here are so starved for success that when they're what, 20-16, it looks like, you know, everything's wow. They're 20, you know,
break them up.
We think they're 26-10 or something, you know,
right.
But so the bar's down, and yeah, we've seen the young guys struggle. You know, we've seen how difficult baseball is, from a couple of their young hitters to a couple of their young pitchers who haven't succeeded. And if Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly aren't starting, you know, what are their chances to win? But the whole Diamondback story, to me, the bigger story is that ballpark and Ken Kendrick. To me, my last year on the job, no, I don't think I didn't write a column that got more reaction than when I wrote of, you know, are the Diamondbacks keeping up on repairs for, you know, Bank One ball or Chase Field? And if they are, it's like, my big question is, well, why isn't the roof working? Two, you know, it's two summers where they can't open and close the roof when they want to, as quickly as they want to, you know. And as you said, you go to the ballpark and, you know, there are things that haven't been taken care of. You know, and you wonder how much people are discouraged or disgruntled with Ken Kendrick as owner. You know, it's kind of a fun team to watch, but are people not going to the ballpark because of, you know, Ken Kendrick, or being conditioned to see a bad baseball team?
81 degrees yesterday. The roof didn't open. Took my wife. They could have introduced the fans before the players. I mean, there was nobody there. over in section 24, there's Kent Summers. You know, it was one of those.
And granted, it's the Marlins. I get that.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Right.
But there have been other games like that this year, you know, and I think people aren't in the habit of going to the ballpark to watch the Diamondbacks. That, you know, a lot of bad baseball over the last 3 or 4 years have conditioned them to that. And, you know, it's going to take a while for them to flip that, I think.
Enjoy retirement or retire or ment, whatever it is that you're in right now, that space right after it's happened. Semi. I'll just call you Semi. Kent Summers with us for a few minutes. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.